You're listening to Lambs Media, sponsored by onlysupernews.com. Lambs Media is proudly sponsored by onlysupernews.com, news to make you feel good.
Hello, good evening and a warm welcome to week 14 of the Lambs Media Weekly Quarantine Podcast. I'm your host, Harry Hanslow, for this evening's show. I hope that everyone is well and staying safe. The idea behind these podcasts is to bring new content, including interviews, questions to the fans, and to raise awareness of all the competitions, challenges, and content which can be found over this period. Coming up in the next hour on tonight's episode, then, we're going to be recapping all of this week's news, hearing from Tom Tonks, as well as speaking with former Tamworth FC general manager Russell Moore. As always, throughout the show, make sure that you are active on the chat, and if appropriate, I will give you a shout out. And I can already see a few messages coming in. Good evening to Sarah and Josh. Good evening to Sophie, JLR20, Stuart Jones and Matthew Hilton. As I have done in the last few weeks, now that English football has resumed, if there are any goals during the show, I will update you as and when. Currently in the Championship, it's Cardiff 1, Derby 0, Luton QPR 0, Millwall Blackburn 0, Sheffield Wednesday Huddersfield 0, and Wigan beat Hull 8-0 earlier, as well as Reading losing to Middlesbrough 2-1, and Fulham drawing with West Brom. And in the Premier League, in around 15 minutes' time, Chelsea will kick off against Norwich. So, starting off then, we're just going to recap this evening everything which has been announced by the club since this time last week. Most of this week's news was actually announced yesterday, with the men's first team continuing to add to the squad ahead of the season. We'll have a bit more on that in just a minute. Jaz Singh, Dan Creaney, Henry Wilder have all re-signed for the club, as well as signing Liam Bateman from Basford. Meanwhile, we've heard news from Loughborough University that Luke Little has signed for their scholarship teams. And in terms of next season, just today we've had news from the Southern League that it is, I quote, highly possible that we will be able to recommence the 2021 season mid to late September. So hopefully we'll have a bit more on that in the next couple of weeks in terms of when we can get back to watching the Lambs. You will also have seen this week about the virtual fans forum with Gary and Andrew. That's actually going to be streamed next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Onto YouTube instead of the podcast, so there will be no podcast next week, and instead the virtual fans forum will be live on YouTube. And a new host will be taking the show over the week after that. Lambs Media also have voluntary vacancies, which include some photography roles, as well as some filming and editing opportunities. If you are interested, please get in touch with media@thelambs.co.uk. And the club is also looking for people to volunteer this Friday in a COVID-compliant work party to help tidy up the ground from 5:45. If you are interested, please meet in the car park with some gloves and some enthusiasm to give the ground a bit of a tidy. And finally, as a quick reminder then, our weekly quarantine quiz went live yesterday, and this is based on the Lambs versus Sutton Coldfield Town FC. Each week we've been having 10 questions based on Tamworth, and you can attempt that by clicking the link which I'll put into the chat section as soon as the first interview is underway. Talking about the first interview then this evening, we're going to be continuing on with our Tamworth FC Legends series. We've heard from a number of ex-players over the last few months, but we're also going to start hearing more from the staff and volunteers who've worked at the club in the past. Russell Moore was the general manager for 9 years at the club, and Kev Clark caught up with him earlier in the week.
Hi Russ, brilliant to have the chance to talk to you today and joining us from sunny Spain. How are you keeping, Russ?
Yeah, Kev, I'm keeping very, very good, thank you. At the minute, we've popped up to Benidorm for a few days and I'm looking out of my balcony over the sea, sun is shining, people on the beach. Yeah, if you'd have said to me 15, 20 years ago that's where I'd end up living, I'd have laughed at you, but no. I'm living the dream, so they say, but loving life, Kev, loving life.
Fantastic to hear that. Now, some of the younger fans that are listening into the podcast won't remember you as general manager. So just to outline that for them, you were employed at Tamworth FC from 1999 to 2010. We'll come on to that shortly. But you were a fan, Russ, way before that. And what are your earliest memories of watching Tamworth?
Well, good question. Being a Tamworth lad, they were my team, and my first game that I can actually remember is the Torquay game in the FA Cup when we famously beat them. I remember going with my dad and standing at the, I mean, they call it the Castle End, the Grit End, whatever, standing there behind the goal and just getting so enthused and wrapped up in the atmosphere. You know, it's the underdogs. Against the team that were flying high in the league, and we went and beat them, and it was just, you know, that stuck with me, and it's still with me now. I can shut my eyes and still see and hear it, and that got my love, not of just football, but for Tamworth Football Club, and it was the best baptism I think any supporter could have had.
So fast forward a few years. How did the opportunity come about to work at the club? I mean, it must have been a dream come true.
Well, Kev, you would know, like, you know, Henry, Danny, and I could name loads and loads of people. I followed the club here, there and everywhere. We had such great fun as supporters, and there's memories that spring to mind following the club. You know, I see Dennis Mulholland at Gresley running past dressed as Batman, and lots and lots of lovely stories and memories like that. It came out of the blue, to be honest. I was actually working for my friend at the time, doing a bit of painting and decorating, because I'd been on the steel and we were steel erecting and we were between jobs. So I was working for Mark and I had a phone call. Would I be interested in going and speaking to the chairman, Bob Andrews, regarding the commercial activities of the football club? Now, I haven't got a clue really where this all come from, because, you know, it was just, like I say, it was just out of the blue, this phone call. So the first thing I did was phone the wife, and I said to Elaine, I says, I can't believe it. I says, they want me to go and meet Bob Andrews and talk about commercial stuff of the football club. And I'd been given about two and a half weeks before I got to meet them. So I set myself a task of learning as much as I could of what a commercial manager, you know, what the job entailed within football. And I actively did a lot of research then the day came and I went down and met Bob at Nautic Steels, along with a couple of other members of the board at the time, one being Bill Jones, I don't know if you remember Bill, he's sadly passed away, and Adrian Leedham. And Adrian Leedham was so supportive towards me in the interview, I just thought, wow, this is going better than I ever expected. I was asked after an hour to leave the room for 5 minutes while they had a discussion. I was then called back in and they offered me a 12-month contract on a salary that was nowhere near what I was earning, if I'm honest. But, you know, boy, did I want that job. So I phoned the wife up and I said, you're never going to guess what. I said, they've offered me the job. Anyway, then I told her what the package was and we ummed and ahed because you really want it, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. And so we agreed to bite the bullet for 12 months and I went back and I said to the chairman, you know, if I prove my worth after so long, can we revisit the salary? And they were happy to do that. And that's it. That's how simple and easy it all started, to be honest.
It's often a case in life. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And somebody obviously felt that you were right for that. And it turned out to be such a great a fit, really, both ways. I mean, 11 years or so you worked at the club. But you weren't general manager at first. As you say, you were commercial manager, weren't you? And then how did things progress from there after that first 12 months then?
Yeah, I was commercial manager and, you know, I did all manner of things from, I never forget, I think it was Freesley Cycles down at Paisley. Dave Owen was the proprietor of those. And I knew Dave since school. Although he was a bit older than me, I'd always knew Dave. Anyway, you've got such things as electric bikes, and he was trying to sell these electric bikes. So he only convinced me that that was the way forward for me to get one of these electric bikes and get around the town trying to drum up sponsorship and, you know, supportive advertising. I'll never forget, I took the bike. Here's a little tale for you. I took the bike from Faisley. I rode it back to the ground, got into the Lamb, and there was there, I think, Buster Belford was there. Rod Adley, who was at the time general manager, and I'm not sure if Degsy Bond was there. But anyway, Rod says, oh, let's have a go on this, let's have a go. So I says, yeah, get on it. He says, how do you work? I said, you turn that handle there like a motorbike and off you go. Anyway, so Rod jumps on it, turns it straight into the fence. And it was just, it was funny. You know, nobody got hurt, but it was so funny. And Rod shook up a bit. But yeah, I remember him jumping on this electric bike, but I say there's lots of tales like that I could bore everybody with. But no, Rod then left the club and, you know, there was just me and Bob, basically. You got, as I say, Adrian Leedham in the background doing what he was doing for the football club. But it was down to me and Bob. And it transpired that, you know, after the initial trying to learn to be football secretary as well as general manager, we made a great go of it. But I have to say, we had some brilliant support from the likes of Brian Whitehouse, Clive Tomlinson, you know, these type of people that are Tamworth through and through, you know. And then you've got your people that sponsored and have always sponsored, like your vice chairman now, Steve Lafbury, Andy Farrington with Bradley Scott and Andy Rowe. You know, these people, without them giving the support that they did, you know, and this is long before they became involved officially with the football club, they helped the club to progress. And as I say, it was hard work, but boy, I was living the dream, weren't I?
11 years or so, and it's quite a substantial chunk of time, Russ, isn't it? You clearly got on with the job, you know, got on with people that you had to work with and made a good fist of it. There were quite a few managers in that time. Well, a couple of managers in that time. So perhaps you could remind us of who you worked with and who you felt you had the best relationship between 99 and 2010.
Well, when I started, Paul Endry and Andy Dwyer were the guys in charge. And I have to say, they have given me some of my great memories as a supporter following the club. You know, they were a different class. They took the club to a level that the club had, you know, not been before. And, you know, I like the guys. I see, I see Paul occasionally when I'm over, and it's always nice to touch base. You know, Paul and Andy, they left the club, and it was a little bit strained at the time because, you know, in football, relationships can, they can fall apart a little bit, and, you know, all things come to an end. It was how it ended with Paul and Andy at the club, you know, it left a bit of a taste on both sides, I suppose. But, you know, you get over it, you look past it and you move on. And then I had the, you know, the workings with Gary Mills, Mark Cooper, Darren G, all top people. And again, you know, Mark's run with the club was absolutely tremendous. You know, the FA Cup third round, the Stoke game, the Norwich game, and he got one of his assistant, to have to say, Richard Dye. Richard was one of the nicest people I've actually met in the game. Mark had a certain way of doing things, and he could be at times, he could be Bovril. You know, you either loved him or you hated him. But I got on with Mark. Mark had got a wicked sense of humour, believe it or not, and his impressions of certain people, they'll never leave me. But then you go to Gary and Darren, and they, for me, in my time at the football club, were the managers. I've got a great relationship with Gary Mills. I speak with Gary regular still, and he's become a really good friend. But what he did for the football club, and, you know, a lot of people at that time, they'd never seen the football club be as professional, I suppose. And that's not being disrespectful to the people before them, because, you know, they all brought their different things with it. But Gary just brought a level of respect to the football club that was not there before. I mean, players went from calling, they used to see the chairman around and he'd be, "All right, Bob, how are you, Bob?" As soon as Gary came in, it was, "That's Mr. Chairman," especially in front of people, supporters, or you get that respect there. And Gary, his team talks, he learnt from the master, he learnt from Brian Clough. And I'll never forget, he asked me and the chairman, the last game of the season when we'd won the league, and I think it was Salisbury at home, and he says, "I want you to come round the dressing rooms about 10 to 3. And I said, "Oh, gosh, you know, we've basically got everything." He says, "No, we want you there." Anyway, I went and met the chairman in the boardroom. We sauntered on round. There's a few thousand in the LAM, and, you know, it's great. You'd never, you know, everybody was buzzing. Everybody was that high. We walked in the dressing room, and Gary got all the players in an huddle, and he made me and Bob get in there, and he proceeded to talk, you know, what we'd done for the football club, not what the players had done. And it was incredible. And after 5 minutes, we left. And me and the chairman, we just couldn't speak to each other. We walked out. When we did speak, we got beyond the goal going back to the boardroom. And we actually said, "Do you know, we feel 10 feet tall. We thought we could have run out on that pitch and played football." And it was just an incredible, another, you know, thing that is never been told, or, you know, I've never related the story to anybody, but it was, Gary had just got a different way of doing things. And I've got on with all the managers, and I've got the utmost time and respect for all of them. But for me, Gary Mills, when he got Darren there, that was the dream ticket. You know, and I hear supporters say, "Oh, well, you know, he left us and he went to York and all this." But again, it's one of those, it benefited Tamworth Football Club more than a lot of people know. You know, when Gary did go, because you know, they're like players, they don't go for nothing. And there was a reunion package agreed. And you know, Gary, when he went to York after he'd been the second time, but the first time when he went to Coventry. And I would say to anybody involved in football, when Gary McAllister, who was manager at Coventry at the time, came a call in, and he was going to join, you know, a championship club, who, you know, were flying in the big stadium that they got. You couldn't say no. And again, Coventry, they looked after Tamworth Football Club. So, you know, it is difficult when managers leave and they take a step higher, you know, because people always perceive they're chasing the money. That's not always the case, I believe. You know, they have to look at their own careers as well. So, yeah, Gary Mills for me.
No, that's understandable, and you've explained that in a way that many fans would never hear. So, you know, it's up to fans ultimately to make their own minds up, and as individuals to have their own opinions. But there's always the bigger picture. Plenty of ups and downs, really, Russ, in that 11 years or so. What would be your best and worst memories?
What a question. Yeah, I'd have to say, let's go with the downs first, because you always get those out of the way. A couple of them that spring to mind. I suppose the numero uno one is what happened down at Folkestone. It was just unbelievable. You know, we'd prepared right. We'd travelled down on the Friday. The lads were well up for it. I never forget, on the Friday, we all sat down, chairman, the directors, officials of the club, players over the other side. We all had our meals, and it couldn't have been better prepped. And then, if I remember rightly, was it 3-3? Something like that. And we ended up not going. And we took over 1,000 supporters down, all the way down there. And to actually sit, stand and see them, you know, the upset, the heartbreak, because everybody thought it was nailed on, we were going to win promotion. And you know, there was nobody more gutted and upset than me, because at the end of the day, I'm a fan. I'm a massive Tamworth fan. But we all got on the coach, dusted ourselves down, going back. And again, one of Gary's and Darren's legendary talks on that coach. And they, you see, that was the class of the man for me. Gary Mills went on every supporters coach that had gone down there and says, you know, get over this, because next season, we're going to win it. We are going back. And, you know, okay, Gary had moved on and went to Coventry, but Darren was still there and he got Mark Cooper involved. And, you know, Gary had gone on every supporters coach and said, next season, this football club is going to do it. And it did. It did it. So, you know, Folkestone, remembered for a lot of the reasons that, you know, we don't want to remember, but that's why we love football, because it does that to you. And I suppose the other one, which was really, really one of the biggest disappointments, it's got to be the FA Trophy at Villa Park. There was a lot of, pardon the word, but there was a lot of crap going on in the lead up to it that was nobody's doing. It upset the rhythm. It upset players. It's been one of the worst, for me, episodes that ever occurred at the football club. I'm not going to dwell on it, because I think the people that know will know what I'm on about. And for me, that was one of the hardest things to have to deal with. And it was one of the worst moments in my time at Tamworth Football Club, having to deal with it and all the aftermath. But invariably, for me, and I know some of the lads that played, big H-bomber. H-bomber will probably disagree with me, because, again, it's a wonderful thing. He should have started. But there was one person responsible for why we didn't come home with that trophy. And thinking now, again, if we had won it, there'd have been a certain person gone up to collect it, and that'd have been the lasting image. So in one respect, personally, I don't think it was a bad thing, but it was one of the worst days of my life after the final whistle. But I'll tell you, one of the proudest days was the lead up to the game on the team bus coming up to Villa Park. And it was brilliant. All the supporters round. And I actually got to live the dream, walking out onto the pitch with the players and, you know, seeing my mum in the crowd and waving to my mum, to the wife and my daughters up in the hospitality areas. That, you can't take that away. And to see, you know, 14,000 Tamworth supporters on the old end, and these are guys that I grew up with, gone to school with, and the reception when we first came out, it was incredible. What an eye that was, what a buzz. Me, you know, little Russell Moore, and you're doing this, it's brilliant. Then, you know, you've got the FA Cup run, both of them, and was it Jake Edwards at Stoke? You'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure it was Jake Edwards at Stoke at the Britannia. He should have won it for us, and we should have not had to have gone to penalties and, you know, lost at the Lamb in the replay. But then the Norwich game sticks in my mind for lots and lots of reasons. The fourth official that day was Howard Webb, and he was such a top guy towards the football club. We had a few of the local younger Sunday League referees come down, and after the game, he went and gave them a 20-30 minute talk of his own time and told them, you know, how to get on in refereeing and do it. And he didn't have to do that. And I became a bit friendly with him, and he, at clubs when I left and moved on, he came and did me after dinner talk. So, you know, that stuck in my mind. But the other thing was the night after the, well, the night of the Norwich game, because we'd gone live on Match of the Day, if you recall, 12 yeah. o'clock kickoff, something like that. And then after the day had finished and, you know, we got comprehensively beaten, we weren't disgraced. Kyle Storer scored the goal of the game, and it was great times. We'd had a full house as such. First time the club had been on match, you know, live Match of the Day, and it was going round the world, and we were getting messages from Vietnam, Canada, Australia, the States. Incredible, you know, all these well wishes that a Tamworth supporters based around the world. But afterwards, and we all went to the clubhouse, and regardless that we'd lost, it was still a celebration because we'd done what we'd done in the FA Cup, you know, little old Tamworth. We'd done that, and so we all had a few chinos, and I'm sure you were somewhere there or thereabouts, Kev. But we had a few, and you know, we got Henry leading the singing as usual, and we all celebrated, and then we all slept off. Well, I was physically drained because the run up to it was so taxing and tiring, and so I just slipped off quite early with the wife, and we went over our local, the Kettlebrook Club, and had a few beers, one too many if I'm honest, and retired to bed. But the next thing, about just after midnight, someone's waking me up, and I opened one eye, and there's a police officer stood over me, and I think, oh, what's happened? And they says, are you all right? Yeah, I'm all right, the wife's all right. And then they explain that there'd been an armed robbery at the clubhouse, and, you know, you've got Dave Clayton, Malcolm and Janet and Grills and Kelly, these, you know, people who have done so much for the club, they were all on the receiving end of these guys that came in with guns and, you know, held the place up. And so they wouldn't let me go anywhere near the place because it was a crime scene. But the actual next day on the Sunday, I went down and seen how they trashed the club. I went up and seen Malcolm and, you know, got messages to all the guys that had been involved because that was the main concern. But it just took a real shine off what had been a fantastic day in the history of the football club. But another little side story to that, and I know I'm waffling on, but I'll tell you it anyway. Me and Elaine, we got tickets at Old Trafford the next day to see Man United v Aston Villa. We got them through Terry Coat, new great friend to Tamworth Football Club. And so we went up and we were in the players' lounge and everything. But when you go into the players' lounge at Old Trafford those days, you used to have to walk back up the tunnel. After the game had finished, you have a little card, walk back up the tunnel, and you get a steward there, and you show him your card, and he lets you through. And as I was walking back up the tunnel, you got the guys, the commentators, who covered the game at Tamworth. They were in the tunnel. Russell, what are you doing here? We've heard about the robbery. How is everybody? Send our best wishes to the football club. And you got Delia Smith come on, and she was brilliant. She, you know. So although it was a great day, I remember it for lots of different things, really. But no, so many highs and a few lows. But no, winning the league, I suppose. If I had to pick the top one, was winning the league, because that bunch of lads that won that Southern League the first time, that massive, massive shield, that was it for me. Yeah, I think that would be my abiding top memory.
Fantastic. Really, really great to hear that. I think we would need, probably a 10-hour podcast, in all fairness, Russ, for all the memories that you have. And not just you, everyone we've been speaking to on these. We're trying to condense it down into kind of a half an hour interview, but it's frankly impossible with all the memories and stories that are coming out. So something needs to be done in the fullness of time to get all those thoughts and memories out to the audience that want to hear it. I'd like a bit of insight now, actually. One thing that's been consistent since the late 80s at the LAM is, of course, the chairman, Sir Bob Andrews, affectionately known as Sir Bob Andrews. He's the man who prefers to be very much in the background, doesn't like the limelight, You would know him very differently, Russ, to most fans. How is your relationship with him?
Bob. What can I say about Bob? Top man. Brilliant friend. Tamworth through and through. Then, you know, I just could never, ever imagine me saying anything other than good things about him. He's been fantastic for that football club. And there's been times where we haven't always agreed on things, but, you know, that's life. And what I've never been, and anybody that knows me, is I've never been a yes man. And to be fair, I've had my differences of opinion with Bob, but again, like managers, you always get through it. Don't get me wrong, Bob a time or two pulled me up. I know after being in the job for 3 or 4 years, you start to get a little bit, you know, I'm the man, I'm the one in charge. And I remember Bob calling me to one side and basically said, you really could do with a holiday. In other words, he was telling me I needed to walk away from it and come back refreshed because nobody is bigger than the football club. And I went home and I said, oh, I think I blew it, Elaine. And she said, no, he's doing it for the right reasons. And we did. I mean, he had such a relationship. When we'd actually won the league and we were trying to get into the Nationwide Conference, I don't know if you'll remember, you may do, but you look at the seated stand, we were 50-odd seats short of being accepted.
Yeah.
You've got the Castle End, the Grit End. That needed to be hard concrete standing. It was just earth. You know, there was nothing there. We needed, the shed was all railway timbers. Again, yeah. It needed to be hard standing. Anyway, me and Bob, we spent hours and hours doing it. And then he says, well, I'm off now, Russ, I'll leave you to it. And he went off to Jamaica, the Caribbean, him and Pam. And he just trusted me and he just left me to do it. And I was a bit daunted, if I'm honest. But we had a couple of builders that were on the board, the Robinson brothers, Dave and Malcolm. I don't know if you remember them. And they were brilliant. They helped so much. And, you know, we got it done. And the inspector of the conference came along. And he's a big old boy. And I can remember him now, and I can't remember his name. But the guy who was giving you the yes or no was John Moles. And if you remember that name from the past. Anyway, Bob had come back from his holiday. The ground was all done. And we'd had the visit. And we got the confirmation that we'd been accepted. We hit the grade. Now, we got told this on the Monday or the Tuesday, and we couldn't say anything till the Thursday or Friday when the official thing was going out. As always used to be the want in the conference, they'd tell the club and then swear you to secrecy, which, you know, is never good because it always leaks some way. But we managed to keep it to ourselves, but we had the biggest grins. We stood behind the bottom goal, me and Bob, leading on one of the terraces, and we just looked, we've actually done it. We've done it. And great relationship with him, great. And had some fantastic times, you know, at the award dinners. And he's Mr. TFC. You know, you get the likes of Bob Cooper, who is worth his weight in gold to the football club. People say, Mr. TFC, he's Mr. Tamworth. And he is in a lot of respects, Bob is, and one or two others. But the main man is, you're quite rightly, Sir Bob.
Yeah, it's again. You could fill up a whole show on just on that, really. I think.
Good.
But just on Bob. But we need to move on. As some people are aware now, Russ, that you live out in Spain, of course. But you keep in touch with the club, as you've alluded to already. You get down to Milan when you can. How do you rate, just going into the future, into the present moment now, and how do you rate the current trio, management trio, and the squad that we have there currently?
Well, as you know, Kev, I listen to most games over here in Spain, regardless, you know, where I am or what I'm doing. I get the earplug in. I could be in my local watching a Premier game, but the phone's there and the earplug's in. And, you know, I type my good wishes. And I think you get Cyril, who's always trying to compete, you know, from where we are. But Smudger, what can I say about Smudge? Love him to bits. He's a football man. Great, great guy. His enthusiasm, you know, his outlook on the game. I remember him as a player, fiery player. He's one of those fellas if you're in the trenches, you want him on your side. He's a top guy. I don't know Andy that well. You know, I've spoke to him a few times. Gaz has introduced me when I've been over. But they stopped the rot for me, and they turned the football club around because, yeah, it was in free fall, and nobody would have felt more hurt and upset over it than Bob. But, you know, Gaz fell into the job. You know, he did. He fell into the job. And, you know, all his hard work that he put in previously with the youngsters, his affection and his enthusiasm and feeling for Tamworth Football Club, that shines through. And, you know, I sometimes have a few text calls and conversations with the likes of Grokes, Darren Grocott, and, yeah, you know, we are staying in touch with quite a number of them, actually. And, yeah, I think Tamworth, with the Smudge in charge and, you know, the team that he's got with him, I think, yeah, they should have had it this season that was void. Let's hope they get off to a great start. I'm sure they will, you know, because it looks like he's keeping the majority together. The captain, Boswick, he's the key for me. You know, listening to it, reading and seeing it when I see it. You know, Gaz can get him and the team playing how they were. Let's hope he can have a season where, you know, we have that season when we run away with it and we won it by end of February, March. It'd be fantastic if he could do that. And he's the man to take it forward. And hopefully, by taking the football club forward, and again, we go back to what we spoke about at the beginning, Gary will eventually leave the football club. You know, whether it be to go higher or whether he doesn't have success and, you know, he's got rid of. That is the business that everybody's in football. But I have a sneaky feeling that when Smudger leaves the football club, it may be for better and higher things. And again, that's not being disrespectful to my football club, but it's a fact of life. Have success and you'll go on and have success elsewhere. But yeah, I certainly will be tuned in and can't wait to get over and, you know, see my beloved Lambs again. But yeah, Smudger for me is the one that stopped the rot, turned it round, and he's got it heading in the right direction.
Absolutely. Russ, it's just been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. I know we try and catch up a little bit when you do get over. And I think you're looking at maybe January. Is that right, next for you to get over again?
Yeah, I may be able to get over before. You know, we'll see what's what and if the crowds are let back in. But as I say, I've mentioned quite a few names during this interview. But let me say, big shout out. And you've got to do one of these. You may have done it. I haven't heard it if you have. But get up to Buster Belford, because the Belford family have been tremendous as well for that football club. And the old dog's still going strong. And he's got many a tale to tell, I can tell you. But yeah, I hope to see you all soon. And as I say, I've got my Tamworth scarf still. I still have my Bars shirt as well. So you know, you'll take the boy out of Tamworth, but you'll never take Tamworth out the boy.
Hear, hear. Fantastic. Brilliant talking to you, Russ. Thank you very much for your time today. Take care and we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much and up the Lambs. Cheers, Kev.
And a huge thank you to Russ for doing that interview with us. Just a quick update on all of the games. It is currently Chelsea 0, Norwich 0. And in the Championship, it's Cardiff 1, Derby 1, Derby equalising there, Luton 1, QPR 0, Millwall 1, Blackburn 0, and Sheffield Wednesday 0, Huddersfield 0. And our final interview of the evening then comes from Tom Tonks, who actually joined Tamworth FC before the lockdown but didn't get the chance to play. However, he has committed to the upcoming season and at Tamworth FC, and Stuart Jones has caught up with him earlier in the week.
Hi, you, Tom. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. You?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Thank you very much indeed for joining me today.
Not a problem at all, mate. Not a problem.
Good, good, good. I suppose the first thing to say then is congratulations on the new deal at Tamworth, signing for the 2020-21 season.
Yeah, hopefully we can get underway soon, and I'm really looking forward to it. So, here's to a good one, hopefully.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of encouragement. You're seeing lots of different things on social media of potential things that can happen and dates and ways of getting the fans in and getting football back up and running again, isn't it, from the sounds of things?
Yeah, it's like I say, every day, every week, it's progressing, isn't it? So, fingers crossed, we can get going as soon as possible. But yeah, hopefully the fans can get there as well, because I think it's that's the main point, isn't it? A non-league football, really. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's what we all want. So, how did you and your family cope with the lockdown period?
To be fair, my dad hasn't stopped working. He works in construction. My brother is a trainee solicitor as well, so he hasn't stopped. There's only really me and my sister in the household that stopped. Really, it was a bit mind-boggling for myself to start off with after about 3 or 4 weeks, but I found ways of keeping myself occupied. So for the family, they really kept on going. I think my dad had 2 days off the first week of lockdown, and then they found their construction sites could stay open. So it's just been normal life for my dad and my brother. They had to take precautions in police stations and stuff like that. So yeah, they're mentally good. Everyone's mentally good in the household. So fingers crossed, long may that continue as well.
Yeah, no, fantastic. It is difficult. That first couple of weeks, maybe the first month, and you sort of sit there and you think, what am I going to do with my time? You know, if you're used to going out and doing stuff, like, you know what I mean? Trying to find box sets to watch and things keep you entertained, aren't you, really?
Yeah, definitely. I think the stocks of Netflix and Zoom have definitely gone up over the pandemic period, so.
Yeah, I was going to say that they've had a pretty decent time financially over the last couple of months, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely, mate.
So you were signed for Tamworth in early March 2020. How did that move come about?
How did it come about? Well, I got myself in a little bit of a sticky situation at Stourbridge. I got left out for a couple of games, for a couple of strange reasons, really. Nothing to do with performance level or nothing like that. And then I kind of, I went to social media and put a tweet out. And, a few managers kind of got in touch with me, and then the word got round eventually for Tamworth. And, and then the 7 days went in. So, yeah, that's how it come about, really. And, I'm just a bit gutted the way, the season ended. Mm. But, yeah, I'm just glad to be here now.
Yeah, no, we sort of touched on that, didn't we, a little bit, sort of after the season had been expunged, that you were gutted in a way that you didn't get the chance to make your debut last season.
100%,
But how disappointing was that for you? Was it, I suppose, it was difficult to take?
Yeah, it was very disappointing. Obviously, the team were in a great position at the time. So, I'm more gutted for them kind of thing. But on a personal level, it was definitely, it wasn't great. It was very gutting. I mean, we travelled to Colville on the Tuesday night before the lockdown actually happened. Mm. And we believe that something happened to the referee's car. So, as we was about to go out to warm up, the gaffer's come in the changing rooms and says, lads, you're not going to believe this. It says the game's been cancelled kind of thing. And I'm sitting there thinking, nah, you can't be for real. No, I thought he was winding me up. But yeah, it was gutting. But sometimes in life, these crazy things happen and they can't be helped. And that was it, really. And as you say, it was very gutting not to get a chance. Like you say, the lads are putting some hard work through the season for 75% of it. So it must have been very gutting for those as well. But like you say, personally, yeah, devastated as well, really.
Yeah, I seem to recall the Colville one. It's I think everyone's scratching their head about that. You couldn't make it up, could you? Like you say,
no, it was weird. Like I say, we all the lads were, getting our boots on, short socks, etc. ready to go out to warm up, and then, you know, Andy's walked in the changing rooms and gone, we're off, and we're all that's not shut up, Andy, you're bantering us, blah, blah, blah.
Shit.
And now it's off. What do you do? You just sit there for 10 minutes and think he's on the wind-up kind of thing, but that's just the way it was.
No.
Very, very strange. But so, as we touched on, you've signed a new deal for the new season. How pleased are you to get your chance to show the town of support with what you can do, obviously, when the season does start again?
Yeah, well, I can't wait. You know, new club, new challenge, new fans. And I want to be progressive in my football. You know, I'm 28 now, in the prime of the day. So obviously I've got, you know, a very good season in me. Maybe more in the future, who knows? But yeah, I can't wait to play at the Lamb, to be honest. I've heard good things, a very vocal crowd. So hopefully they can get behind me and the team through the season. We can have a successful one off on the pitch. You know, and there's some good crowds down there. So yeah, I can't wait to get going. Obviously the managers, they wanted me to stay, so I'm happy for that. I've just got to repay them and hopefully put in some performances for the fans as well.
No, brilliant. We're all looking forward to that when it does come around. So taking you back a bit then, where did your football journey begin, and sort of what other clubs you've played for prior to Tamworth?
As in, you know, kind of adult football, as a, say, 17, 18 year old, I think I was at Stafford Rangers. There was kind of a reserve team then. Played there for a couple of years in the 16s and the 17s, and we had a reserve team. So we kind of started there, had a few games for those. And then I went to a team called Brockton, out of Stafford.
Mm.
Did a couple of seasons there. Then I went to Tipton Town, which is local to me. Played in the Midland Alliance at the time. I was made captain at 18, I think it was, which was a bit of an, you know, as an 18-year-old, as a kid, just making my way as captain. I was really proud of myself, to be honest.
Yeah, that age, yeah.
Yeah, I was really happy with that. So yeah, I went Tipton Town, and then the manager at Tipton Town, John Hill, he went to Hal's Owen Town, and he took me there at the end of the season. Successful season there. We won the league in the first season. Second season, we finished halfway at step three. And then Hal's Owen, I went to Stourbridge just down the road, which caused a bit of a stir. Did a few seasons there, then again it's successful again, so that was good. Then in between four spells at Stourbridge, I think I did about 5-6 months at Telford. From Telford back to Stourbridge, and then I went to Solihull Moors and did a couple of months there again. Obviously my game time was limited, so I kept finding myself back at Stourbridge. It was, you know, kept in touch with Gary Hackett all the time.
Mm.
And then I had a spell at Alva Church as well. I had an ankle operation while I was at Stourbridge. Went out to Walsall Wood, got a couple games on loan. Then I was told that I needed to get some more game time, so I went to Alva Church, where I was with Ian Long, who was my manager at, he was my assistant manager at Tipton. And finally,
oh, right.
As the manager at Tipton, he was the one who made me captain at 18. So yeah, I went to Alva Church with Ian Long, and then obviously he got the Stourbridge job, and I went back to Stourbridge then. So yeah, I've a few tracksuits, as I say. Well, yeah, it's just I've always tried to be progressive in my football, and I've never turned down a challenge, never turned down a step up, and I never will. That's just the kind of person I am. I always want to better myself. I always want to be progressive, and hopefully I can do that with Tamworth this season. It's looking good and exciting. So, yeah, we go Brockton, Stafford Rangers, Tipton, Halsorian, Stourbridge, Telford, Solihull, and now Tamworth.
Yeah. Well, it seems to be fair, like, it's been a gradual rise up the leagues, though, doesn't it? From, like you say, from maybe the Brockton days and Tipton and that, like, up to where you are now.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, I always want to be progressive. I always back myself with my football ability to be, you know, the best, if not one of the best midfielders in the squad, wherever that's been. Is that cocky? I don't think it's cocky. It's just confidence in my own ability to make a difference, whether that be defensively, attackingly. That's just the kind of person I am. I always try and make an impact on a game. So that's just the kind of person I am. Yeah,
I'm sure that'll be music to the supporters' ears. That's for sure.
I hope so.
So you mentioned about the four spells at Stourbridge. We've had at Tamworth have had a couple of years where we've not done very well in the FA Cup, apart from last season where we got to the fourth qualifying round. But you're synonymous for your time at Stourbridge for having a couple of decent FA Cup runs. Is there any memories that you have from those games?
Oh yeah, loads. Probably my best footballing memories, to be honest. But yeah, the first season I was there, we got to the second round. You know, we beat National League teams, we beat Dover away. That's probably, you know, it's in the top three footballing days I've had. That was a really good day. Then, yeah, we beat the likes of Northampton, you know, played away at Wickham. Some of them were just surreal experiences. Obviously, when we played the likes of Northampton and Wickham, being captain as well, it was, you know, you get the... You know, the newspapers, the news, they want to come to your work, your phone never stops. And then obviously that feeling of walking out in front of, I think it was 6,000-7,000 people, 3,000 or 4,000 of them, probably Stourbridge fans, to be honest. And yeah, it's a great experience. And so, you know, it's that old cliche, would you swap that for winning a league? It's not a question I'm going to answer, but hopefully, you know, there's many more memories to come. Obviously, it's going to be difficult this season because I'm not sure there is an FA Cup for step three.
Yeah, I've heard similar things as well, where they may not have any cup competitions to try and get the season done a bit quicker. So, I mean, ideally, in an ideal world, what you'd like from a Tamworth perspective to win the league and have a good FA Cup run and get a bit of prize money into the club and that sort of thing.
Of course, yeah. It enhances your profile as a player as well.
Yeah.
You know, the likes of Dan Scar got a move at the end of the season. You know, he's been in the professional game ever since. So it's good for players as well, and it's good for the club. It puts the club on the map. Obviously, I know Tamworth's a big non-league club anyway. From their past and their history, so. You know, it's going to be gutting not being able to play in it. But like you say, the main aim is always to win the league as a club at Tamworth stature. So that is the main aim. So fingers crossed we can do that.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
So I saw on the Stourbridge website that they suggest you have a very useful weapon, which is your long throws. Is that something that's been successful for you throughout your career?
Yeah, it's something that I've always had from a little kid. You know, people go to me like, what's the technique? I'm like, I don't really know what the technique is. I just pick it up and, you know, throw it as far as I can. You know, I've had teams try and put it out for a corner rather than give a throw in. I've had teams not allow towels. You know, talking about towels in the Wickham game. When we played Wickham in the third round of the FA Cup. Obviously, they must have done the homework on us and realised it was a weapon. So what they've done, they've bought, you know, the advertising boardings around the pitch.
Brought them forward.
Yeah, they brought them forward a couple of yards, took away the towels. So, yeah, and, you know, even the, you know, the pro clubs are doing the homework on it. I think we played West Brom as well in a senior cup game or something like that, and they're saying, yeah, we've watched videos and this and that, and the keeper come up to me, I I think it was Palmer, his name, Tom Palmer, something like that. Mm. And he went, we can watch all the videos you want, he says, but nothing can prepare me for that weapon. So yeah, it is a weapon, it works. Hopefully it can create a few goals for us and the bigger lads in the team, or even for the smaller lads with the second balls and stuff. So yeah, it is a weapon. I've always had it and I'll keep using it as long as the gaffers want me to.
No, definitely. I suppose you think back to the Rory Delap's, the obvious one, isn't he? When he was at Stoke, they like you said, they'd put the ball out for a corner instead of a throw in to avoid the ball going. And Dave Challenor was the other one at Tranmere, used to throw literally right into the box.
Yeah, he's the old foiled manager, isn't he?
Yeah, he was. That's right. Yeah.
I haven't actually seen any clips of him, but I will have to have a look on YouTube to see how it was. But yeah. No, they still use it in the pro game though. I was watching some playoff games the other day, and I think it was Northampton who got promoted to League One. I think they scored a couple of goals from it in the playoffs. I've seen England use it in the last 12 months. Yeah. Joe Gomez, I think they scored from it. So yeah, it does work. It does work, and some people don't like defending against it. And obviously,
it's good to certainly good to have a specialist in that department, I would say.
Hopefully you can work in our advantage through the season and score a few goals.
Yeah, we certainly hope so. So it's probably fair to say you would have played alongside Aaron Ford during your Stourbridge times. But is there anybody else in the current squad that you've played alongside?
Obviously there was Chris Late. Bromsgrove now. Apart from that, Bilal Yaffa.
Stourbridge,
he had a spell at Stourbridge as well. Who else is that? I think it's just those two, to be honest. Obviously, I've played against a few of them before. Jazz is probably one to ask about the long throw, to be honest. He's played against me.
Yeah.
But I never actually played against Tamworth during my spells at Stourbridge. But yeah, there's Fordy and Bilal. There's two that come to me. Apart from that, I don't think.
Yeah. No, fair enough. So, what's your opinion on how the squad's shaping up at the moment? Obviously yourself and then the other nine players that have re-signed for the season, and along with the acquisition of Shaq McDonald at this stage.
Yeah, well, obviously Shaq's a goal scorer. He's played at a very good level. He scored goals for Bromsgrove last season. So yeah, he's a proven goal scorer, and the squad's taking shape. I mean, the core of last season, for a successful season, what they had will be null and void. The majority's still there. And with the added of myself, Shaq, maybe more to come. That's behind the scenes what the gaffers are doing. So
yeah,
the squad's looking strong, and hopefully we can have another good go at it, because that's the plan. Like I say, let's be successful, because that's what we want.
Definitely. I think in terms of the midfield, we're absolute spot on. Yourself and Bilal, and then you've got Ryan Bezic, Fordy as well. And there's a young lad, Brian Tate, as well, who's a really good young prospect as well. It comes to something, or it says something, when a player like Jordan Clement, who was a very good young player, couldn't, has moved on to Alvechurch as game time would have been limited.
Yeah, obviously, I feel sorry for Alfred Clem. That's his decision to move on. I wish him the best, but obviously not in the two games that we have to play against him. Ian Long will look after him there at Alvechurch. Nice bloke, and he's a nice lad, so he'll be okay. But yeah, there's definitely competition for places in there. Everyone's got their different, ways of playing, and it's going to be tough. And the squad always gets used over the season. Injuries happen, suspensions happen, and that's just the way football goes. But if you play well, you're more than, most of the time you stay in the team. So that's up to us. It's a good competition to have. So yeah, Bez did well last year. Fordy did well last year. Obviously that's proven from where you were in the league. So you know, it's tough. It's going to be tough for myself to get in, but, you know, well, like I say, I always back myself. And when needed and when playing, I'll, you know, give everything that I can to try and get, you know, 3 points.
No, good, good to hear. So you mentioned earlier about Twitter, and you are very active on Twitter. And I would personally say I find quite a lot of your tweets quite amusing, to be fair. So you strike me as a guy with a good sense of humour. What type of character would you say you are in the dressing room?
I'm just me. I like to have a laugh. Obviously, when you cross the line, you have to be serious. You have that serious fun. I wouldn't say I'm overload, but I've got a voice in the change of rooms. Like I say, I've been captains. I'm a bit, you know, I like to, you know, I'm an encourager kind of thing. That's just the person I am, and, you know, my personalities won't change. But yeah, I could be a bit of a character. I like to have a laugh and a joke, bit of banter, wind people up and stuff like that. So yeah, hopefully I can bring some good characteristics to the dressing room. But we'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll fit in quite well with that that attitude anyway, to be honest. I think there's a couple of jokers amongst the pack when it comes to the dressing room. So finally, is there a particular message that you'd like to pass on to the Tamworth supporters at the moment?
Just get behind us as much as you can. You know, we're going to be giving everything. Like I said, the aim is to be where the team were last season. And hopefully, you know, the season finishes, touch wood. So yeah, just get behind us, give us everything. You know, there's going to be times where things don't always go our way. That's just football. But you know, I've played football, you know, long enough. Some of the fans might have played it as well, and it's you have bad spells, and that's when you need fans even more. Obviously, it's very frustrating sometimes. But you know, nobody goes out on the pitch to make mistakes. But we are human. But yeah, just get behind us. Like I say, I've heard good things about the lamp. So, you know, being a 12th man, etc. Always get good praise, good attendances. So hopefully they get behind us and, you know, give us that push that we need when it gets tough. But yeah, just get behind us as much as you can, and I'm looking forward to, you know, getting going there.
That's brilliant. It's been good chatting to you, Tom, and like I say, hopefully with a bit of luck, we'll all be there soon enough, cheering on the boys and everyone getting back to normality with a bit of luck.
Yeah, fingers crossed, mate. Like I say, I'm a football fan myself. So yeah, we I want the fans there to cheer us on. So looking forward to it. Like I say, I can't wait to get going there.
No, top man, appreciate you, Tom. Thank you very much indeed.
No problem. Thank you.
And that interview does bring us to the end of this evening's show. Huge thank you to Tom for getting involved. I do hope that everyone listening in has enjoyed this week's podcast. Once again, thank you very much for listening. As I have just mentioned previously, there is no podcast next week, but keep an eye out for info on the Virtual Fans Forum at 8 p.m. on YouTube next Tuesday. Just a quick reminder before we do close the show, if you do want to get involved on Friday, it's 5:45, meeting in the car park to give the ground a little bit of a tidy, and we will be back in around 2 weeks' time with a new host for the show. On behalf of everyone at Tamworth FC, thank you very much for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you very soon.